All right, we are live. So today is Sunday, March 11, 2018. We're not in any series. We finished our series on living in the presence of a holy God. And so we're going to have this week and next week are just, I don't know what you want to call them, random messages. Not part of any particular series, but this message today is going to go along with where we ended up last week in talking about one anothering. So the title of this message is One Another, One Another. This is a live recording. All in favor say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we are here to remember you, to worship you because you are worthy, and to praise you and to learn. And so, God, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, thanking you for the body and blood sacrifice on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have given us, especially the Word of God. And we thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit who enables us to get along with one another. And so we ask you, Lord, to give us insight and motivation that we might, in fact, follow the teaching of the Word of God to one another, one another. We ask that your Holy Spirit come and open the eyes of our minds to comprehend, and open the eyes of our hearts to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. This is actually a message that I wrote in October of 2004. And it is on our website under News and Views and Messages of the Month. All right. Just so you know the context of when this was written.
In the title?
One Another.
Oh.
One Another. The first One Another is in quotes. One Another, and then One Another. Okay. And you'll see why in a minute. All right. Times with God are times of wonder, times of transformation, times of profound awe. God lives in relationships. God lives in community. God lives in oneness. So he enfolds the lonely. He makes a home for the lonely. He puts people into families. Because God is a family type of God. We see that even within the Godhead. That God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He equips. He searches out the lost, and then they are found. He raises one from the depths of depravity and redeems another from the pit. He shows us his plan and purpose right from the beginning. Okay, in Genesis 1 we see it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be this and that. God said, let this, and call this, and out of nothing he created and saw that it was good. It was good. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Genesis 1:26. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Genesis 1:27. Deuteronomy 6. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. And yet, in the unity of the Godhead, there are three persons of one substance, power, and eternity. I know the teaching of what we call the Trinity or Triune God is complex, but we are talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When God created everything, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, And Jesus Christ was the agent of creation. John 1, verses 1 to 3. God exists in common unity, in a communal image. Common unity. Does this shatter any ideas you have or may have of being independent? Because it should. I think it does. We are not to be codependent. Now you can look that up on the web and you'll find all kinds of psychology, everything on codependent relationships. All right? We're not to be codependent, but we're not to be independent. We were not designed to be independent. It isn't good for man to be alone or a person. You know, we're really not structured that way. Just as we were structured also to worship, not ourselves, but our Creator. Okay, we're not to even be totally dependent on other people, like we just are passive. Feed me. Oh, if you don't feed me, it's not my fault, right? We're not to be passive and totally dependent on other people. Now, when we're first born, are we totally dependent on other people?
Yes.
Yes, we are. But, as God has it, everything grows up. There's a growth. You know? We learn to walk. We stand up. We learn to walk, and we start... Well, then starts the I want, and I don't want it. I don't want to. That starts around, I don't know when. Medusa, the three. Early on. Babies don't say, I don't want to. They just spit their food out or do something or throw something at you, you know. That's how they do it. Anyway, but we are to live in interdependence. We need others and others need us. Now, we don't need to adopt people. We've talked about this. We cannot meet. People come with their list. Literally, I mean, I've had this. They come with their list and they want you to adopt them. And there's an order in the giving. I've taught it before. I won't get into it now. But basically, it's this. You can say to a person... You can look at the list and you can say, I'm not going to adopt you. because the people want to be completely dependent on you. You know, they don't want to be responsible, so you take care of me, right? So we say, we're not going to adopt you. We cannot meet all of your needs. Perhaps we can meet some of your needs. And these are the needs we choose to meet, all right? And that's the way it goes, because otherwise there's just too many people who just use and take and whatever. And God doesn't allow it. I mean, he owns everything, but you just live with him for a while and you'll see how he operates. We weren't made to live solitary lives, to be isolated. That's a prison punishment. Isolation, that's a prison punishment. To be quarantined, that's a medical separation, to be quarantined. Or to be lonely and alone. We were made to find community and, more importantly, oneness in God and oneness in the body of Christ. As human beings, we are relational in nature because God is relational. It's part of being made in his image. We see it in Jesus. Jesus lived in relationship. He said, I and the Father are one. He lived in God's presence in oneness, and he lived and ministered in relationship with the few and with the multitude. Little different relationships, because there's different levels of relationship. He also spent time alone from other people, but he was with his Father in prayer. In fact, it seems like Jesus spent many hours in prayer with his Father, with decisions and miracles and great moments following as a result. come alone, come away, come apart. That's in Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Hours with the Father preceded minutes with the multitudes with staggering results. Is this a clue for our prayer life? I think it is. In John 17, which is truly the Lord's Prayer, we see Jesus and his heart's desire for oneness. Jesus' hour had come. He prayed, "Holy Father, keep through your own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are." That's John 17:11, and it goes on. He prayed that believers be preserved, kept, and sanctified. Now, let's listen to John 17, verses 20 to 23. So, John, I'll have you look that up. Now, listen. Listen carefully to these words.
John
17, verses 20 to 23.
John 17, 20 to 23. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, and they may be one just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me.
All right. Now this is the really important thing here is, and the glory which you gave me is that oneness. That's the glory here. Whenever we see the word glory, we want to look around and see what attribute of God it relates to, primarily. You know? It's not, woo, big, oh my goodness, oh look, gold dust is falling from heaven. Not like that. What's important here? And that the Father has loved them, talking about true believers, as you have loved me. I checked this out with my seminary professor years ago. The Greek word is kathos, and it means in the same quality and in the same quantity. That means that God the Father loves Jesus in a certain quality and quantity of love. Now, really think about this. And in the same quantity of love, how much love? Well, God's love is infinite and eternal. In the same quality of love, in the same quantity of love, and in the same quality of love. That's the love that God the Father has, and Jesus has, because he says, I and the Father are one. That's the love that the Godhead has for every true believer. Now that really has to sink down deep where we live, because we talk about the love of God. Oh, God loves you. God loves you. Well, we need to think about what kind of love that is. What is the quality of that love? And how much does God love us? And think about, okay, well, that might be hard for us. But think about how much God the Father loves Jesus Christ. Because I'll give you a little clue, it is the love of the Godhead that raised Jesus from the dead. That's where resurrection power comes from. It's the love, not life. We don't overcome death with life. It is the love. Love is as strong as death. And the love of the Godhead is stronger than death. Okay? We have to understand this somehow. We have to think about it and think about it. No, I'm sorry, we're taping. You can ask me later. So, Okay, let's go on. There is such a oneness among the Godhead, a oneness of love that is so glorious that Jesus wants every believer to know that oneness and that the know that oneness. And that the Father loves every believer with the same quality and quantity of love as the Father loves Jesus. Now, once you get this revelation of relationship and oneness and love, then you will be a witness to the world that the Father sent Jesus, because the Father so loved the world and his cosmos there, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So behind the life is the love. And just how are we to demonstrate this revelation of relational oneness and love? According to Scripture, the answer is we are to one another, one another. And here we go. It's not everyone giving and no one receiving. It's not everyone giving and no one receiving. It's not everyone receiving and no one giving. It's everyone giving and everyone receiving. It's treating others the way you would like to be treated. It's love others the way you would like to be loved. Because essentially that's what Jesus was saying, and do unto others as you would have others do unto you. How do you want others to treat you? Well, then you treat other people that way. Do you want to have friends? Then be a friend. How do you want to be treated? Do you want to be treated with respect? Then respect other people. You see what I mean? And oftentimes we have to take the initiative. All right. It's to be a friend to others the way you would like someone to be a friend to you. People who get angry a lot speak about their rights. Oh my goodness. I have a right. Oh, good for you. Good for you. I know just how to pray for you. They talk about entitlement and how they are not getting their fair share. Some do this out of greed, and some are crying out because others are exploiting and using and walking all over them. God has a solution to equalize things. It is summed up in love one another. If we love one another, outsiders will know we are Jesus' disciples. Why? Because the Godhead exists in community and oneness, and within that common unity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit love one another. In fact, they cheer each other on. Think of the Godhead as cheerleaders cheering each other on. Yes, all glory to you. No, all glory to you. I do this for your glory. I do this for your glory. They're glorifying one another. You just think about what's going on in the Godhead. In this way, we do justice. This is how we do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. It is in this way we love as God has loved us. We forgive as God in Christ has forgiven us, and we demonstrate the grace of God as God has demonstrated grace to us. Okay, so let me just say on the right, if you want a little homework assignment or a mental homework assignment, or you're really searching and waking up, where think about the rights that Jesus gave up. He didn't actually give them up, but what he did was he lived his life in a voluntary submission, never passive. Jesus was never passive. He was God in the flesh. Don't fall for that he gave up his godhood. No, he didn't give up his godhood. As God in the flesh, he fulfilled all righteousness, because a human being couldn't cut it ever. No human being was going to cut it. So we don't want to fall for that. But he did. What did he give up? Well, he didn't have any personal sin. There was no reason for him to die. He wouldn't have died. He had no personal sin. He's the lawgiver, king and judge. He didn't have to come under the penalty of the law. Everything he did voluntarily. He allowed himself to suffer. He allowed himself to die. He gave up certain rights, if we want to look at it that way. Because he, as surety of the covenant, he was there in our place. When you study the trials, that Jesus Christ went into, you have to separate when Jesus is speaking about himself personally. And when a question comes, he discerns. When he's speaking about himself personally, when questions come, and when he's standing in our place, and most of the time he's silent. He's silent. But if he speaks, see, we have to discern. Is he speaking because a question is being addressed to him personally? Just him? He who has no sin who is God in flesh, the Messiah? Or is the question really being directed when he's acting as surety of the covenant and he's standing in our place, taking the heat, so to speak? All right. So do we have problems in relationships? Every believer can find guidance in improving relationships by practicing the one another passages in Scripture and making them a priority in his or her life. Okay, that is the end of the message. And the message online, one another at marycraig.org, has these scriptures, or some of them, printed out. And if you go there, or you can go to, when this message comes out, you can go to www.mcmtffr.org for the audio version of this message. And I'll be giving the printout of these verses, and hopefully that'll get up there on that website as well. But this is on our website, and at the time when this was written, we were about to go in to help, since we just came back from Guatemala, Guatemalan migrant workers. It's interesting, right? In our Barnabas project. Okay, so what I have here is the one another passages of Scripture. I'm going to pass these out, please. And I wanted to go around the room. We're going to start around. So they will be in verbal form. They will be on the tape here. Okay. There were eight. So did you get one, Troy?
No, but I got it here. I got it on my phone.
Oh, you have it on your phone. Okay. I don't know if they're exactly the same, but they might be.
Oh. All
right. Now, here's how a more correct way of quoting Scripture. And I am going to have you stand up because we might as well get a little exercise. So hang on. So you can sit down and stand up. I mean, you don't have to stand up through the whole thing because it's pages of it. But as you're ready to read, it's going to be like this. I will demonstrate. The first one is you're going to say the scripture reference. Mark, plainly, Mark 9, verse 50. Be at peace with each other. Mark 9, verse 50. Can we think we can do that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I did the first one.
John 13:34, love one another, John 13:34.
Wait, I'm going to give them this.
Okay. How can you believe who receive honor? John 5:44. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the Holy God? John 5:44.
Okay, I want you to talk slower, so a little slower when you talk. This is not a rabbit race, so that we get some sense of, because really, if you want to pray for a family, if you want to pray for relationships of any kind or the mending of relationships, this is the essence of what to pray. These are the scriptures that need to be prayed. If you want to restore a relationship or even have a relationship, you want to pray these scriptures. So I want us to think about them. Okay, go.
John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. John 13:34-35.
John 15:12-17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. These things I command you, that you love one another. John 15:12-17.
Romans 12:5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Romans 12:5.
Romans 12:10-11. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Romans 12:10-11.
Romans 12:16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Romans 12:16.
Romans 13:8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Romans 13:8.
Romans 14:13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Romans 14:13.
Romans 15:5. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Jesus Christ. Romans 15:5.
Romans 15:7. Wherefore, receive one another, as Christ also has received us, to the glory of God. Romans 15:7.
Romans 15:14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Romans 15:14.
Romans 16:16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. Romans 16:16.
First Corinthians 6:7. Now therefore it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? 1 Corinthians 6:7.
1 Corinthians 7:5. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come again together so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. 1 Corinthians 7:5.
1 Corinthians 11:33. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. 1 Corinthians 11:33.
1 Corinthians 12:25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. 1 Corinthians 12:25.
Galatians 5:13-15. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Galatians 5:13-15. Galatians 5:17.
For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Galatians 5:26.
Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Galatians 5:26.
Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2.
Ephesians 4:2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Ephesians 4:2.
Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Ephesians 4:25.
Ephesians 4:32. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you.
Ephesians 5:19-20. And be not drunk with wine, therein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God in the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:19-20.
Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another in the fear of God. Ephesians 5:21.
Philippians 2:3-4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each other esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Philippians 2:3-4.
Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Colossians 3:9.
Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Colossians 3:13.
Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Colossians 3:16.
1 Thessalonians 3:12-13. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 12 and 13.
1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9.
1 Thessalonians 4, 18. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4, 18.
1 Thessalonians 5, 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. 1 Thessalonians 5, 11.
1 Thessalonians 3, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 15.
Titus 3, 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Titus 3, 3.
Hebrews 3, 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3, 13.
Hebrews 10, 24, 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10, 24, 25.
James 4, 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. James 4, 11.
James 5, verse 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. James 5, verse 9.
James 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James 5, verse 16.
1 Peter 1, 22. See, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 Peter 1, 22.
1 Peter verses 3, 8, 9. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. 1 Peter verses 3, 8, 9.
1 Peter 4 verses 8 through 10. And above all things, fervent love among yourselves, for love covers a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received a gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. 1 Peter 4, 8 through 10.
1 Peter 5, 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud,
and gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5.
First Peter 5:14. Greet one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen.
First John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7.
1 John 3:11. But this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. 1 John 3:11.
1 John 3:23. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. 1 John 3:23.
1 John 4:7, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. 1 John 4:7.
1 John 4:11-12. Behold, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. 1 John 4:11-12.
2 John 5. And now I beseech you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto you, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another.
2 John 5.
All right. Okay, we're going to close, and we'll sing our song. And so right now, let's just pray. Father God, we do come before you. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would reveal to us the mystery of the love among the Godhead, and the unity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God in three distinct persons. And Lord, I pray that you would help us then, as a result, that we would in fact love one another, not only as those words have come out, but also in specific ways that we, if we've never started before, that we begin now, Lord, and even choosing one thing, but starting. And we ask, Lord, that whatever anyone does, Lord, we know that you do not despise small beginnings. And so we pray for the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the grace of the Holy Spirit working in power in all those who truly believe in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.